Well, we'll go ahead and get started. As you can see, my name is Schaefer Cox. I'm the director of children's ministries, so I oversee all of our children's ministries here at Santa Cruz from 0 to about 6th grade. And that includes supervising our day camp and our child care at family camp, as well as play school, which runs 9 months out of the year, and then Redwood Camp in the summer, which is where I spend the majority of my time in the summer, although I am up here as well, kind of floating around. But today I'm going to talk specifically, probably definitely children's ministries, but I'm going to probably zero in on Redwood Camp, and I'm going to talk a little bit about how we do programming at Redwood Camp. But before I even get into that, is I want to talk a little bit about our intentionality of why we do what we do, and give you a little bit of background of what we know about kids and why we program the way we do and why we think it's very impactful. This is not by any means an exhaustive list, but some of the things that we take into consideration is how kids learn. It's really important if we're going to meet them. We're going to walk, you know, tell them about Christ, and we're going to try to make an experience that's going to maximize that. Obviously, we all know, you know, that kids learn through play. I mean, it's just natural. From the early on, when they start cooing and they give you a googly eyes, and then they engage you, and you're back and forth. I am still playing, and I'm still very much a kid. But they're experiential. They need to navigate and interact with the world through touch, through experience. And, you know, my kids especially, I have three of them, and they're each different. And one's much more like, oh, I got to do it. You know, like I have a daughter I can kind of explain it to. I have a son who needs to do it for him to get it. And that's a big part of how kids learn. The other thing is repetition. You know, you see it in schools all the time, and they do it probably to where that's one of the main focuses, but that's not the only focus. But through repetition, people learn, kids learn. And so we build that into our programming as well. And I am a big believer that kids are natural learners. People are natural learners. And you see that, again, when they're young. You know, they start to manipulate things, and then they are manipulating you all of a sudden. But they're natural learners. They're eager learners. And so one of the things that we take consideration and we think about is that we want our counselors to be co-learners with them. We want them to be adventurers with them. And we want to kind of gear towards each kid and help our counselors kind of identify where kids are at, and to allow the kid to kind of learn or experience or come to realizations or truths at their own pace. And that's not always an easy thing when you have 8 kids and they're all elementary age, trying to do that. I got this off of this next slide. I got off of on the next 2 slides, actually. I thought, you know, again, not an exhaustive list, but what are some things that kids just need for basic good mental health? And we'll talk about good health, and you'll see why this ties into it. But it came off of a website called mentalhealthamerica.net. One of the things they say kids need unconditional love. They need that from their parents. They need that from those around them, and that's part of their good health. And which is exactly what we try to do, is that we talk with our staff, and we say, look, goal number one is that we would love these kids, that we would accept them and bring them in, and ultimately as Christ loves and accepts us. And so that love, security, and acceptance is huge. Self-confidence grows in an environment like that. And we realize with the surroundings where we're at and where kids are getting all kinds of new experiences and challenges and things that they can do at their own pace and that they're ready for and they can learn about themselves, that we want to grow their confidence. And self-confidence is a huge thing for kids in their development, and certainly their self-confidence in who they are in Christ. Opportunity to play with other kids is a big part of their mental health. You know, there's lots of things I want for my kids. Lots of things. And each time when I drop them off at school, one of the things I'm praying for is saying, God, please give them opportunity to interact with friends, good friends that are going to encourage them. Give them, you know, I think as a parent, you're always fearful of them being the only kid or nobody playing or interacting with them. But that's a big part for all these other things. And so we provide that opportunity for kids to play with other children, and we're intentional about building the relationships with one another in the cabin, in the larger group. And to be intentional about looking for what kids really, I mean, you can tell pretty quickly those kids that are maybe have a harder time, because they're a little bit more isolated. But my philosophy is that when they come to camp, when they come to Mount Hermon at Redwood Camp, their experience will be dramatically different than school. Judgment will not be there. Acceptance, love will be there. Encouraging teachers, it would say, for us, I would say, you know, we are very particular about making sure that our counselors and then our program staff are encouraging one another and encouraging the kids. And I'm probably going to steal my thunder later, but one of the things that I hear often, over and over in the summer, is I hear testimonies of kids saying, you know what really made an impact for me? It was how you guys treated one another and how you treated me. Because our words are valuable, and what we're teaching them in the Bible curriculum are huge and important. But that doesn't mean a thing if we're not doing it and we're not living it out with them. And kids are watching. I mean, you know that if for those of you that are parents, you know that kids are watching. They always seem to be watching when you don't want them watching and not watching when you want them to. But they're watching, and they pick up on that. Appropriate guideline or safe and secure surroundings. And that's just generally that we want them to feel safe so that they will open up, so that the truths of what God is sharing with them, or that God is instructing, that as we're telling them about who Christ is and who they are, they need to feel safe and secure. They need to feel accepted in that group. They need to feel loved and trusted by that counselor, by the staff. And as well as physical. I mean, there's a sense of, you know, they need to feel safe and secure when their surroundings there. You know, Redwood, if you've been down there, it's right alongside these railroad tracks. Well, thankfully, we only have a train that comes up there once a week, which is on Wednesday, so we don't have to really worry about that too much. But there is a lot of traffic of people coming up and down those tracks. And so we are mindful of that and saying, you know, we train our staff and, like, this is how you approach somebody that comes on site that clearly shouldn't be here because they're not between second and sixth grade. And they don't have one of these fantastic name tags that tell us that, oh, yeah, okay, they're a staff member, they're supposed to be here. It's not like it's a major threat kind of thing. People, oh, I'm just wandering through. This looked like a great place to cut through. Well, you know, I appreciate that. However, you know, when we turn them around and kind of say, oh, you know, this is a kids camp, and unfortunately, you know, you can't be here, those kinds of things. But yeah, it's changed in the sense that the camping code changed about 3 years ago, where the camping code says anybody, any adult that's on site has to be background checked and background screened. And what that means to us is that if we don't do that, if we're not doing that, ultimately they could shut us down. And so with the day and age that we live in, we have to say to people, you know, and again, it's not always well received, but we say, look, you know, I'm so sorry, unfortunately, This is the new chemical, and this is what we have to adhere by. And yeah, times have changed. And we'd like to think, often we would like to think, well, no, not here, not tomorrow. But it has. And so, you know, I'm more than happy to take the brunt of their anger in that regard for the sake of knowing that I'm protecting kids. And I can't discriminate between you and somebody else. You know, we get a lot of conference center people that will wander down, and that's a different conversation. It's like, oh, hey, you know, just so you know, because we get, you know, and that's usually, oh, okay, great, got no problem. But, you know, sometimes we'll get, you know, just residents or things kind of wandering through. So physical health, you know, nutritious food is a big part of it, and I am really happy to say that our, you've experienced the food this weekend, right? So, I mean, it's just fantastic food. It is well-balanced. It is kid-friendly. Kids actually enjoy it as well, and so that's a big part of it. So adequate shelter and sleep. The cabins are rustic, but they are cabins, and they provide what kids need, you know, and it's fun. You know, it's fun when you get in kind of rustic. It's a little bit different than the plush pillows or whatever they might have at home or those kinds of things, but that's part of the experience. That's part of the nostalgia of it, and sleep-wise, you know, lights out is at 9:30. Kids, we ring the bell at 7:30. There's 10 hours of sleep in there. Our counselors actually come at the end of the summer, they're saying, I have gotten the most sleep I've ever gotten in my life. So, which is, you know, which is rare. As a college student, you know, you're getting 4 or 5 hours of sleep potentially. Now they do get the occasional wake up in the middle of the night on some unfortunateness. Someone might have got sick or what have you. But for the most part, they get fairly good sleep. Exercise. And when you, you know, that first night, Sunday nights, they get there super excited. And then, you know, trying to get them to bed and wind them down, not easy. But the next day, when that bedtime comes, and in the morning you're trying to ring the bell to wake them up, I mean, it's, you know, hello. It takes a little while. Immunizations, this is from that website. That doesn't necessarily apply to us, other than we do kind of have them. We find out what immunizations they have. We do a health screening when they come in, so that there's not a, you know, that they're coming in with like a communicable disease. Like, I'm coming in with H1N1. I hope that's okay. Well, actually, you're going to have to go back and, you know. So we do those kind of things. And then just the healthy living environment. This is a part of a holistic approach, is that this is why we have kids clean their cabins. And why that's important is that we want them to learn the positivity of cooperation and responsibility. And so those are parts of it. Okay, there we go. So what is intentional programming or integrated programming? And Mount Hermon has a brand or a philosophy of our programming. In fact, regardless of whether we are up at Family Camp, whether at Ponderosa, whether here down at Redwood, there's an intentionality and a philosophy that's a part of all those places. And it changes, it depending on the arena a little bit, but it involves these things. Intentional, it is objective-driven, it is thematic, integrated, experiential, and relational. And I'll break those down a little bit. Integrated, you'll see how everything's kind of integrated, so I probably won't specifically talk about that, but I will drop that word several hundred times. So intentional, what that means is that everything that we do at camp is not void of meaning there's a purpose behind it. We don't do things like fillers. You know, hey, you know, we got a couple hours to kill before dinner. Let's just throw some balls out there and just let them run around. And no. Because we say there's an opportunity for us to reinforce what we're teaching, or to reinforce some of these things that we want them to walk away with. For example, you could, even our skits, our games, all those things are designed to help reinforce and to bring back and to be repetitive, so that we're, again, reinforcing and we're providing experiential learning. So just as if you were to go and listen to a speaker, right? You're at a sermon or just a speaker or conference, and that message that they're giving, I mean, that might be stirring, it might be moving, like, oh, that's really good. But it doesn't really begin to take root until you can apply it to a situation or say, oh my gosh, now I get that. I understand that because I'm going through this. Just as we tell kids, like, I can tell them what faith is. Or I can strap them to a harness, throw them down a zip line, and now we can talk about faith. And now we can talk about how we can trust those kind of things. Now what we've done is we have tied the more abstract thought to something concrete. And that's what kids need, is that bridge. And often myself as well, I need that bridge. The one of the greatest resources we have in camp ministry is the fact that we have experiential learning. There's a Franciscan monk in the 13th century who said this. He said, there are two modes of knowledge, through argument and through experience. Argument brings conclusions and compels us to concede them, but it does not cause certainty nor remove doubts that the mind may rest in truth, unless that is provided by experience. So if I can rephrase it and put it in our camp ministry context here, is I would say the curriculum and the teaching that we do and the Bible studies, those are good, and those are painstakingly brought out. But the true learning takes place when you experience truths and you interact with them. You grapple with it. So we're going for something beyond head knowledge, but we want to affect the mind, the heart, and the soul. We don't want campers to just learn about God's love and his grace. We want them to experience it in a way that can not be later intellectually doubted. And so when we have a Bible study and we talk about, one of the things that we do, we say, okay, how do we apply that today? And we ask them to, and we challenge them to apply it today in their cabin group. How are you going to treat one another? How are we going to love one another? And that then is where they get to interact with. That then it gets the experiential. And then, because inevitably, kids are going to make mistakes, right? I mean, that's part of the environment that we want to create is an environment where it's a healthy place to make mistakes, to fall short. Those are expected. But when we then come alongside them and say, okay, that wasn't probably the greatest of choices, but what do we do from here? How do you restore that relationship with the kid that you just fought over a bunk for? And to walk them through that and be and kind of take a sense of a co-learner with them and help them to realize that. So our activities provide an opportunity where we're intentional in our programming to maximize what we call these teachable moments. And that's what we ask kids to, we do a challenge by choice. So we have a lot of these high adventure things. We do a zip line, we do a flying squirrel, Geronimo swing, and all these involve usually stepping off something very high and going flying down, which is really thrilling and kids, but they're nervous. They get up there and they're nervous. And then we get to talk up to them about how trust, what does it involve to trust? You know, we were talking in your Bible study today about trust and, you know, you've seen, you know, and so for the kid that's a little bit nervous, say, hey, why don't you wait a few, let a few kids go. Let them fly down the mountain. You watch, and you see if those fears that you have over it are valid. And say, okay, well, yeah, they seem to have survived. Okay, great. I see them. Set them over there. It looks like them. Okay, they made it. And we say, okay, well, do you want to try taking this challenge? Well, I'm a little bit. Okay, well, what if we, on the zip line, what if we put you with a buddy? Because on our zip line, we can attach you with another person. Okay, yeah, I think I can do that. Okay. Well, I want to go alone. Okay. I'll go with you. Because one of the things that we're also intentional about is we want the counselor, we want them to experience it with them. We want that shared experience. And so we do our activities where it's not like, hey, you go and do an activity, I'll be over here leading a different activity. No. You're going to have a shared experience together. And then that provides the opportunity for the counselor to say, at the end of the night, or they talk, hey, remember when you were scared about that? Remember when we were talking about, and you did it. Good job. You know, and they reinforce. They repeat those messages that we want them to have. We're objective-driven, which, as a former English teacher, there should probably be a hyphen there, but that's okay. We're objective-driven. The week of camp has an objective. In fact, each day has an objective to drive home a truth. And so we do skits. We do a thematic skit each week, or each summer, I should say. And that is just an opportunity for us. We say, okay, we know that kids are... they're very concrete. So they need to be able to see something, and if they can watch something and they can kind of gain like, oh, well, I can identify with that person, or I can see what you're saying here. But then we say, okay, now this ties into exactly what we've been talking about this week. And so we parallel that. We start the summer I start in usually September planning. What do we want to teach kids? What do we want them to learn? At Redwood Camp, we say, okay, we're going to focus on the gospel. We're going to focus on Jesus Christ. And so each summer we'll pick a theme of what we want them to walk out with. Last summer it was the fact that we want them to understand that Jesus is King. And so then we say, okay, well, we need to come up with a fun theme that will enhance that or bring that out. Well, if Jesus is King is our overall theme, the most obvious for us came, well, we're going to do a medieval theme. I mean, that seems obvious. There's some knights and, you know, it's by a king. This is great. And so so our skits kind of play out. And so we did this skit this last year, which involved, there was a new king. There was a kingdom of Redwoods, what we called it. There was an old king that was thrown off, and there was a new king coming. And Helena, who was one of our characters, she's the historian, and she's going to document this. She's going to get everything ready for this king. And so much like in the Old Testament, where they expected a certain kind of king, she was expecting a certain kind. She said, we need to get this place in tip-top shape. We need to get this ready. You know, this king's going to be glorious. The whole time in that skit is that the king that everybody else recognizes and realizes is right there beside her that she's making, kind of putting to work to prep these things. And so what we begin to do with that story, what we've been able to tie in is say, we have kids walk along and see how we first talked about the first day how there was a promise of a king that was fulfilled, how for hundreds of years, there was a promise of the Messiah, of a king that would bring peace. And then we tie it into the fact that now, as John the Baptist came on the scene, as he says, the kingdom of God is here. And we juxtapose that with saying, here's what the Israelites were expecting. here's the king that came. Humble beginnings, born in a manger, no riches, no flashes. And he was a different kind of king. He was a servant king. And so we draw that out, and that skit further enhances that. And so it becomes an opportunity for us to tie back to kids and say, look, you remember how just in the skit and how the king was like that? Well, this is just like that. And so we tie those things from concrete to abstract. We are thematic. So one of the things that we're really intentional about is that when kids drive into camp, that the theme that we have, our fun theme, it hits them boldly. And so that they enter in that. So this summer, our theme, actually, I'm not going to reveal that. I'm going to reveal that later. So last summer, our theme, there's knights running around, and there's banners up, and there's those kind of things. But we're not content that the thematic or the theme would be something that is gone when they leave camp. In fact, what we're designing and purposeful in doing is that the experience goes with them in their car ride home, in the conversations about what they learned and what they experienced, so that not only does it go on the car ride home with them, but it's something that takes root in their own home when they land at home. The last part of this that I'm going to talk about is relational. Maharman has a counselor-based ministry philosophy, which simply means that it's our belief that the best way to usher a camper into a relationship with Christ is through the relationship with their counselor. And I'll go even further than that and say, not just your counselor, but our staff, as they support one another, as they love one another. And we train all of our staff on what our Bible curriculum is and what we want them to learn. Because those conversations, you know, I hear every summer, I hear a conversation from one of our lifeguards that says, I got to teach this kid that. As they were struggling swimming, or as they were doing, you know, in the last two summers, in fact, we've had a lifeguard that has saw a kid that could barely swim, in fact, almost drowned, if that word, I don't know, drowned, and then took time out of his day and said, okay, we're going to need another lifeguard here, because I'm going to go in with that kid, I'm going to teach him how to swim. So he took the rest of the week, taught that kid how to swim, and by the end of the week, the kid's swimming. And just needed that confidence, needs somebody to walk alongside him, needs somebody to give a little extra care. And the conversations that come out of that, and the what the kid experiences from that, tied with everything else we're doing, you're talking about life change. So we're relational. We're also intentional in that relationship of realizing that we hire these summer staffers, and we scour the country for great summer staff and people that are going to understand our vision and going to carry forth our mission. And so we're intentional about just pouring into them, saying, look, we love you, we support you, and we're going to create an environment where you can feel free to be imperfect. And you're going to make mistakes, but we're going to walk alongside you. This is going to be a community where we speak grace and truth to one another. And you know what? I mean, they're college students, right? So there are mistakes where it's like, oh, okay, that was probably not the greatest of choices. We should have done this. But to walk alongside them and for them to experience like, hey, you guys love me. And then that for that to cycle down to how they're going to treat kids as well, or how it's going to affect them and their own growth. Because I am just as concerned about the kids' growth as I am about our summer staff growth. Okay, so what does it look like? I kind of already mentioned with skits of how that is something that ties into or integrates in what we're doing, enhances our curriculum. Our Bible studies, our cabin times, and our jams. Like I said, if you've ever been a Sunday school teacher or if you've ever been a teacher of any sort, I have found that, I mean, I can put together a great lesson. I can put together a great Bible study. It just doesn't hit home until there's some kind of crisis or something that they can kind of interact with, or that they would say, I get it, I can apply that. And that's why all these other things throughout the day, when we do games and those activities, or we do those things that create teachable moments, that's when we get to drive it home. Cabin times, you know, at the end of the day, we're intentional about bringing our counselors and saying, look, here's some questions to be asking kids. Here's the types of things you want to do. Hey, follow up with Jimmy after he did an incredible thing of jumping off that Geronimo swing when he was basically in cold sweats before I did it. Follow up with that. Encourage him. Say, you did that. You know, we ask the questions at the end of the week from kids and ask them, hey, what'd you learn about yourself? And when you hear a kid say, I learned I can do this. I learned that I didn't know I could do that, but I did it. You start to hear that self-confidence grow. And with self-confidence and them understanding in the context of who they are in Christ, gosh, if you can change a life this early and you can put that rudder on target, what kind of impact will that life make the rest of their lives? It'd be huge. We do jams. Jams are, I actually have some of these if you'd like to see them afterwards. But we do these jam books, and jams basically stands for Jesus and Me, where we're getting kids reading scripture. And they read one passage or one section, and then we ask them to write or to underline or write one verse or one phrase that really kind of meant something to them or stuck out to them. And then we say, okay, well, then write one prayer or one thankfulness or one kind of thing about it that, you know, that helps them to kind of apply it or kind of interact with it. And then the last one would be say, now go and share that with somebody. So it's a cabin mate, it's a counselor, it's a program staff sometimes. In addition to, there's questions that then start asking them about the skit and about the skit before, because it ties to the thing. So then we're bringing back and saying, okay, well, remember the skit and the character was doing this. Well, why do you think they were doing that or what have you? And then it bridges into, and it ties those questions into Christ and how that applies to them. And then at the end of it, which I really love, is we do a 21-day challenge. So we give them verses in the same thing where they can write one verse, they can write one prayer, they can tell one person for the next 21 days. Now, I know, and you probably know that elementary kids, they're not going to, you know, it's very rare that you come across one that's going to take that home. It's like, I got to do my jam. I got to spend my time with Jesus. Now, there's going to be some that do that, right? And later they will, you know, they'll be amazing people. But that's just not normal for all of them. But this is where we take the intention and say, look, I know that they're not going to probably do that. We're going to encourage them. We're going to walk through them. And the counselor, when they do it, the first day, they'll walk through them and say, we're going to do this together. Let me show you how it's done. And then the next day you say, okay, now you go read it. You go kind of answer the questions. And then we're going to come back together and we're just going to share. And then the next couple days, then they use that in debrief or ask some questions kind of at the end of the day about that. Hey, what did you learn? What were you when you were reading your jam time? But these kids, they're not going to pick it up. But I know that when they get to junior high, when they get to high school, when they become adults, and people are telling them, look, you got to grow your relationship with Jesus. And here's how. Reading God's word. Now, they say, oh, you know, I've done that. I remember that. I'm somewhat familiar with that. In fact, I was at camp, and it was an amazing time. I did that, and I did really feel like I connected with God. Well, now it's not totally new. It's not something that, you and I could probably say, well, okay, yeah, it's taken me a while to get into that habit, to get into that pattern. And so we're also taking that kind of long-term perspective of saying, we're gonna get them interacting with God's word on their own. And we're gonna put them in a place of success where they can see, like, hey, you can do this. You are doing this, and here's how. Okay, I need to hurry up so I can answer questions at the end. I think I've kind of already touched on how our game activities and recreation kind of tie into our integrated programming. Homesickness and fallout. That's homesickness is one of the biggest things that we deal with. And it's one of my favorite things to deal with because I get it, for one, but we have, you know, I think last year we had about 850 campers at Redwood. 99 times out of 100, I can get them to want to stay at camp and to love camp. You know, that first night, kind of rough for some of them, and you got to pull them aside. Now, sometimes, you know, we had, this is a funny story that will now be recorded. We had a kid that smuggled in a cell phone, or his parents smuggled in one for him, whatever. So I get this call from, I think it was from Gene, that's telling me, like, hey, his dad wants to talk to you. Like, apparently, son called up at, called from camp. I'm like, well, how'd that happen? Well, I don't know. So anyway, but he had called mom and dad and left a message like, oh, I'm homesick. I want to go home. Well, the die was cast at that point. I mean, I did everything I could, talking with parents, negotiating with them without them actually coming down, you know, but the die was already cast. So that was one of the, we usually during summer, one, maybe two, the homesickness is insurmountable. And 90, and most of the time when that's the case, because mom and dad have made it insurmountable, you know, so, but it is so fun to take a kid who's shy, is bashful, because what do they need? They need to feel safe. They need to feel secure. They need to feel unconditional love. And it's new. It's a totally new environment. It's the first time they're going away, or they've gone to camp somewhere and they stayed for a couple days and they got to call mom and dad and they got to go home. So they didn't have, you know, they kind of were enabled to be able to have that. So when that's the case, I tell the kid, I said, okay, well, how many days did you make last year? Well, I made 2 days. I was like, okay, we're going for three. And here's what we're going to do. And I start talking about, you know, we just start talking, getting to know them and say, well, what is it? And we start talking about the fun things at camp. And then this is what I love about our staff is that when they see a kid and a need that's so prevalent to them, they enfold them. And they go the extra mile to bring that kid in. And it was, I remember last summer, it was amazing. It was a fifth grade boy. And just in tears and, you know, we got him kind of talking, got him kind of thinking about it. I said, okay, I'll tell you what. And I was at the end of my rope here. I said, I tried everything I could do, stancing, juggling, everything. So I said, okay, tell you what. Here's what I want you to do now. I just want you to try it out tonight. I just want you to invest, and I want you to really say, okay, put those words in the inside. And then tomorrow morning, if you come to me and say, I've done it, I've tried it, I want to go home, I will personally call your parents, and we will talk, and we will get now, and we'll have you gone by lunch if that's what you really want. Okay, you know. So he's kind of shivering. He's okay, and so the next morning, you know, with breakfast, I'm going around looking for that kid, and you know, and I almost didn't write him because he's smiling, he's laughing, he's playing with his kids, and I thought, well, I'm not even going to ask him. I'm going to have him come up to me if he wants to go. And sure enough, he made it the entire week, just a phenomenal week, and. You know, and this is where we tie into parents. Like, parents are like, oh, my gosh, I can't, you know, I couldn't believe he made it. I mean, I thought for sure he was going to, I was like, well, and I told him the story. And so, but, you know, that homesickness, that's how it falls into everything of trying to create that environment. I love them. Follow up, I mentioned the jams. We also do counselors fill out a council report, in which they, because I hear some things that your kid took part in. And then we also ask them, we say, look, find an attribute of God that you see in that kid. Because as a parent, I mean, you're like on the front lines, right? You're in the thick of it. Sometimes you can't even see the positives of the kid at times. And you're just like, man, there's fire going over my head. But when somebody else says, look, this is what I see in your son. And I remember when I was a youth pastor that there was this really ornery kid. But he would always, I mean, it's just really hard to love. But he would always say, well, that's not fair. You know, he'd always be like so judicious. And so like, everything's not fair. And I remember talking to the parent, I was like, yeah, you know, yeah, he's kind of hard at times. I said, but you know what? You know, something that I saw in him, I mean, he seems to have God's justice. I mean, it's a really, I mean, he's always concerned about fair. That's something that, I mean, we can look at it negatively, but that's a positive. That's something that I see God in that. And that's something I would, for you, I would say, I would continue to nurture that. I would admonish your son about what you're seeing in him. And those are things that then change conversations and change perspectives and encourage the parent as well. I mentioned challenge by choice. Our crafts are all tied at, just got a little maiden headband right there. Even meals, I want to get to some questions, so I won't specifically talk about that. This is my middle son right here, having a blast, his first week at camp. And what's that? Yeah, well, but he's not sleeping there, so it was great. He wasn't sleeping in my house. He was sleeping with somebody else, so they had to deal with it. But we couldn't do what we do without a fantastic and excellent staff, and that goes from full-time staff that support us to our summer staff and a well-cast vision. Last year we adopted this vision statement. We said, here's our vision statement for our summer staff, and we would preach it ad nauseum. But it was true. It's everything we want to do. We said, okay, one heart, one family, one mission. And we say one heart. That means that our purpose this summer is that we pursue a relationship with Christ. That is an individual responsibility as well as a community responsibility to keep one another accountable to that. One family, that we would be unified, that we are, again, we don't do this alone. we are together. And then the third thing was that we would have one mission, and that is to lead students one step closer to Christ. This year, we have we've taken the same thing. It's the same thing. We just worded it differently to try and mix it up a little bit, but it's repetitive, which is part of learning. Okay, here's a little video real quick of Redwood.
Redwood Camp is the best experience I've had, and it's so much fun, and it's so amazing, and I wish I could come back next year.
It's a great camp. You should go. It's a great mixture between learning a lot about Jesus and God, and then also having a great time with your friends and your counselor.
I've learned that I can do all things through Christ, and that whenever I'm in a tough situation, I can always look up to God, and He'll always help me.
What I learned about myself was probably that I like to learn more about God.
The emphasis has kind of been on how He's not a normal king. He's kind of he's a different king. And He's very humble and willing to serve other people and not be served.
I would tell a friend that it's definitely a good choice to come to this camp. It's really been a lot of fun, and I've learned a lot.
Come to camp, it's really fun. You have all these games, and you get to learn about Jesus Christ, and you make a ton of new friends, and the counselors are really fun.
I would say it's really fun here. You get to go to the beach and do all these fun activities.
This camp is awesome. It's the best camp ever. Better than every camp I've been to, this is the best.
Camp is awesome. If you're thinking about it, just go. There's no question about it. Just go.
I would say this camp is amazing. It's a time to be close to God, to learn more about Him, and get better and closer to Him every day.
It's just amazing going here, and I wish I can come here every day of my life. I'd say you'd better start packing, because this is an amazing camp.
I mean, they're heavily bribed. Ask kids, you know, like, I think people are always surprised at how articulate they are and what they can understand and catch. And I mean, I sit there at the end of Friday nights when we do a luminaria, and I sit there with my laptop, because I'm like, I need to record this so that somebody else, so they can hear what God's doing. Lastly, and then I'll take questions. Our theme this summer is we're doing it says Ever Everland, but we're doing a Foreverland, kind of a Neverland kind of a theme. One of our main verses, I need to use this, sorry. Our main verse is from 1 John 1:12, I believe, which talks about how we are children of God. And when you become a child of God, you are forever a child of God. So as we're talking about that, and it just seemed so natural, like, well, of course we're going to do Neverland, because that kind of fits that whole... But we're going to change it forever, and we're going to talk about what it means to be a child of God. And you're a child of God. I'm a child of God. It fits all ages. And so we're really excited about what this summer entails. I would talk a little bit more about our curriculum this summer, but I want to answer any questions that you have. I got 2 minutes, apparently. Yes?
Are you, as far as each boy and girl confronted with accepting Christ as a Savior, are you doing that one-on-one rather than like a fireside or kids just raise a hand?
Yeah, great question. I'll repeat it for our recording. How do we present the gospel message, basically, in what forum? We do not do the altar call because, as you mentioned, it with kids, you know, they'll just all of a sudden they'll come forward and it's not what it is. So because we're counselor-based ministry approaches, our counselor is the one that gives the gospel message. And they give it with a sense of urgency, meaning we don't know what tomorrow holds for that kid. But we don't give it in a sense of manipulation. We give this, say, hey, and part of what we build in that week is where the counselor gives a testimony of what Jesus means to them. In fact, this week, we're going to start with the first thing on Monday. We usually give our gospel presentation in our Bible study groups on Wednesday. Some kids are ready to respond, some aren't. On Friday, we follow up and we give another opportunity for them to respond. But when they give that gospel message, it's they say, hey, this is the gospel message. If you're interested in learning more about that, if you would like to take that next step, come talk to me. Let's have a one-on-one time together. So that, again, even not in that group that they're necessarily asking kids, like, raise their hand, but in some cases that's appropriate, but typically it's going to say, okay, well, let's talk further about it. And so it puts the onus on the kid to kind of go, yeah, I want to learn more about that. This is why I want to do it. And then it gives conversation for the counselor to ask and to understand where they're at and to walk them through and have to lead them to Christ. Good question. Any others? Yes, sir. Yeah, so the question was, at what age group do they start doing some of the high adventure stuff and the target sports? So our 4th through 6th graders do the archery, the BB guns, they do zip line, Geronimo, and flying squirrel. Our 2nd and 3rd graders, which are our primary, their target sport is slingshots. We don't give them a bow and arrow, and we don't give them a BB gun. and they do the zip line and the flying squirrel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we each, the two programs, we cater to what is best for them. We do not arm primaries. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Great question. The question was, do we transfer our theme at Redwood over to family camps, children's ministries? No. We do not. That's the short answer. We do our own theme. Here at, I don't know if you explained it, but it's, we are sunk without grace. And so is the theme here at family camp. And so the idea is that we are, our families are sunk without grace. Our identity is sunk without grace. And so it's going to be kind of a shipwreck kind of a theme, but in different genres. Like there could be a schooner that's wrecked. There could be a Titanic, you know, different locations here.
Like last year, we had the volcano in the mountain.
Right, yeah, it'll be a different theme in a different curriculum. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Romans Road. Yeah, that's a yes, we do. We have a memory verse for each day. We also usually have like kind of a week-long memory verse, like this one I mentioned, the Child of God one for 112. And so in their jam book are those verses, and for each day, and they have opportunity to memorize them, and then we give them little strategies to kind of do that, and then they share that with, you know, staff or with their cabin mates. Yeah, and when they go home, and then also when we do the one verse, one, you know, when you read the passage, you get the one verse. We're also helping them to, okay, what's a verse that means something? So we're also kind of helping them to kind of read it and then find a verse that really means something to them. So it's even a step further than that. Okay. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. If you have any questions for me at any other time, I will not be, no, I'm just kidding. I will be here. Thanks. Thank you.